Good morning. My name is Kevin Carlisle. I'm the minister at the First Christian Church in Vancouver, Washington. Our passage this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily would beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That comes from the King James Version. And I picked this passage because I feel like I've really been aware lately that life is a race. It's a race and it's a fight. The Apostle Paul, when he was near the end of his life, said, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I remember one time a friend in passing was asking me how I was doing. And I said, I'm fighting the good fight. And he liked that answer. He said, I am too. I'm fighting the good fight. So I came to enjoy that as a response to that question. How are you doing? But the question that this passage brings out for me is, am I really fighting the good fight? Am I really running the race the way the Lord is telling me to run the race? And this passage tells us that all of us have a race that has been set before us. That life, for each one of us, is a race. And we're to run it with endurance. I've heard it analogized that the race of life is a lot more like a marathon than it is like a sprint. And yet sometimes we run our marathon as if it was a sprint. I see two things here that I really want to highlight that are speaking to me, and that is, I need to run my race with wisdom. You know, a runner, when he's preparing for a marathon, I used to have friends that did cross-country running when we were in high school. And they would tell me what they would do to prepare for the race in terms of diet and other things. And it was a real discipline just leading up to the race so that they could run it at their best. And I was really intrigued with what they would do. Sometimes they would have different techniques than other friends of mine that were also runners. It was like they didn't all necessarily do the same thing, but for each one of them, it was a science, and it took preparation, and it took discipline. And so I was considering my own life in terms of running and exercise. When I was younger, I loved to exercise. I actually would run for fun. Even though I was not a competitive runner, I would go out in the country sometimes and I would run a 3-mile run that I had staked out on my own. And when I was in college, I had this one run that I had staked out. It was a 3-mile run, exactly a 3-mile run. And it was from my grandparents' farm down to a little country church and back. My grandparents lived out in West Salem, and they lived on the top of a hill. And it was a pretty steep hill. So starting out, I would run downhill for, I would say, half a mile before it would level out. And then it would be pretty flat. And then I would come back. And the challenge was to run the whole 3 miles without stopping. Sometimes I had a friend that would run with me. And he wasn't a runner as far as sports either. But he liked to run just like I did. So we'd go out and we would run. And when we come back, we'd get to that half mile run going uphill back to my grandparents' farm. And sometimes we would race. And it would be a lot of fun to outdo each other. Sometimes he would outdo me, sometimes I would outdo him. But a lot of times I would go out there by myself. And one day I decided I was going to run this course twice without stopping. That's 6 miles. That's going up that hill twice. And one of the challenges I've had my whole life was getting low blood sugar. It's kind of a family trait. Diabetes doesn't really run in the family, but low blood sugar does. My two daughters can get it. They call it getting hangry, combination between hungry and when their blood sugar drops, it makes them say be angry, I guess. They call it hangry. I think I can identify with that. So on the way back the second time, when I was running up that hill, I wasn't going to let myself stop because I remember I'm 20 years old. 21 years old, and I did stupid things back then. I'm sure you did too. So when I got to the top of the hill, I was feeling very weak, very out of breath, and my goal was get to the cherry trees in the front yard, my grandparents' house. So I finally got to the cherry trees. I probably wasn't even running. I mean, I probably looked like I was running, slow motion in place. But I finally made it to the cherry trees, and I just collapsed on the lot. I was just like, oh, I'm so weak. And my grandmother, who was always working, always busy, never missed anything. So she came out, and she helped me get into the house. And she knew exactly what was going on because I said it was a family trait. And she was giving me milk and toast with peanut butter and just doing everything she could to help me get revived. Why am I telling you this story? Because that was not running the race in a smart way. And sometimes I run the race of life the same way. I run it as if it's not a marathon, but as if it's a sprint. But it's really a marathon, and I get spent because of all that's going on. A lot of this life requires us to have self-care. When's the last time you took a break? When's the last time you took a vacation? When's the last time you spent some time with the Lord doing whatever it is that you do that helps you hear from the Lord? Some people, journaling is key to hearing from the Lord. Some people, spending time in reading the Psalms and praying the Psalms, praying scripture, and then listening, really listening, finding a place where there's not a lot of noise and you can reflect and listen. I have places like that where I can go free from distractions, and it's like time slows down and I actually see with a perspective that I didn't see before, didn't have before, in my mind, in my heart. And I feel like the Lord can speak to me, help me realize where I've lost my priorities. And then this passage also talks to us not only about laying aside every weight that would interfere with our life, but every sin that would beset us, every sin that would distract us or get us off course. So as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about what pushes our buttons. What pushes your buttons? I use a lot of examples about driving. I guess that's because I drive a lot. But I realize a lot that my buttons get pushed by all the stupid drivers out there. But they're not really stupid. They just are driving stupid. I need to watch my attitude. Because if I get the idea that somebody that's driving reckless is a worthless person, I've crossed the line. We're not supposed to view anybody as a worthless person. We're supposed to pray for everyone we meet, treat everyone we meet as if they were and are our neighbor. Because according to the parable of the Good Samaritan, everyone is our neighbor, everyone we meet, everyone that crosses our path. That's deeper than friendship. That means they're like your brother, they're like your sister, they're your neighbor in the biblical sort of way. So those drivers that are out there, they can't help themselves that they're coming from a state where they're trained to drive that way because of the highways and freeways and how they drive in that state. Of course, that's my own prejudice coming through again. But just wanting to say that if I let myself be filled with a negative attitude towards somebody as a person, I've let my buttons get pushed, and it'll affect me in a negative way the whole rest of the day. You've heard the comment, garbage in, garbage out. What we let our minds dwell on will affect our vulnerability to live by our lower nature instead of our higher nature. We all have two natures. We have the Christ nature, Christ-like nature, because he's now in us, he's with us. And then we have our lower nature, which tends to be self-oriented and about me. And the Lord is calling us to be about others. So if I watch TV and I watch the news and I read about the news and I never have any time where I'm having a devotional or reading scripture or spending time in prayer, what do I expect to be within my heart when I'm running my race? How can I expect to run the race in a way that's honoring to God if I don't fill my mind with his ways and his thoughts? I hope I'm making sense here. It's not rocket science. We need to do self-care, not only of our physical bodies and our mental health, but our spiritual health as well. And we need to prepare. We need to sit down and make a plan. I'm working with a coach who's trying to help me get back on track with my health. And this coach is a very good friend of my younger sister. And this is what she does for a living, but she's offering it to me for free. And I'm not the easiest person to coach. But one of the things she's trying to really encourage me in is that I have to do some kind of preparation to succeed. If I don't want to eat at fast food places all the time, then I need to figure out how many steps I'm willing to go through to prepare for the next day so that when I do want to eat or need to eat, I'm not without an alternative to a fast food place. Am I making sense here? Do you see the analogy between this and our run, our race, our fight? We need to sit down and say, starting tomorrow, I'm going to get up 10 minutes early and do a devotion. And I'm going to pray. I have a friend who works as a CNA for hospice. He's a Christian. We went to lunch one day and he said, you know, when I every day just first sit down and say, Lord, thank you for this day, I commit it to you. He goes, when I do that, it's always a different day than when I don't. It's a positive day. It's a day where I feel victory no matter what comes my way. And it might be that you can find a devotional that has words that really come alive for you. If you don't, let me know. I'll try to help you find some. I have a few in mind already, but the point is, are you preparing, am I preparing, so that we can run our race the best we can each day? One of my favorite verses is in this passage that we read. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of our faith because of what he did for us on the cross. And he endured his race. And he went to the cross for the joy that was set before him, which was knowing the difference that him going to the cross would mean and would make in our lives. And he's the finisher of our lives. A finisher in carpentry was somebody who didn't just finish the job. They were somebody who perfected the job. And so the Lord is always working with us. We're never going to be perfect in this life, but he's helping us to grow. The Lord doesn't want us to just say, oh, I'm a Christian, and then just stand. We're supposed to get moving. We're supposed to run a race. We're supposed to partner with the Lord. We're not saved by works. We are saved by grace, but we're also called to partner with the Lord because there's a fellowship that happens in partnering with the Lord that's amazing. It lets us know that, hey, I was designed to be completed by the Lord in faith. I was designed to walk in faith, not by sight. I was designed to be a believer and not a doubter, to live in belief and not in disbelief. And this great cloud of witnesses that we're surrounded by are the people in Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the Hall of Faith. These are people who lived great lives of faith. But it's also the people that are our loved ones that have gone before us, that we can look to their lives and examples in their lives and how they lived their life and know that however it happens, the Lord is allowing them to cheer us on from heaven, cheering us on in our race here on earth. We are being prayed for by the Lord, and I believe also our loved ones, encouraging us in our race to run well, to hear those words from the Lord, well done, my good and faithful servant. So I want to encourage each of us to sit down and think about our race. Are we running it well? What do we need to do to run the race the best we can? And I would encourage us to make self-care a priority, our bodies, our mental health, but especially our spiritual health. Spend some time reading God's Word, spend some time reading some devotionals, listening to music, praying, and building up your inner person, feeding the higher nature, so that when you are in situations, you will have the strength to live out of that higher nature. When your buttons get pushed, you won't go to the lower nature, which is the easiest thing to do, but you'll stay in that higher nature. Let's run the race together. God bless you all.